This is part two of the message on forgotten, not forsaken. We started it last week. We're going to finish it today. In Genesis chapter 40, it tells the story of Joseph being in prison and all the things that had happened to him. And it says in verse 23 of chapter 40, I think that's the last verse, that the chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. And I'm sure that that hit Joseph very hard because he was expecting to be getting out of prison because he was there under false pretenses. So many things in Joseph's life. He had been mistreated, misrepresented, falsely accused. He had been imprisoned. And in the midst of it all, he remained steadfast, a servant of God. If Joseph was anything, he was a servant. He served the Lord. He served others. He was treated unfairly by his own brothers, and he was sold into slavery. He became a slave in a foreign land, and then he was accused of attempted rape, thrown into prison. The path of life sometimes leads into situations that we were not prepared for. We didn't plan on. Prison situations where we feel locked in, closed off, shut up. Joseph, during this time, there was many things that he could have done, but he took the high road. He took the best way. He kept his priorities in order. He knew that God was with him. The Bible makes that very plain. The Lord was with him and prospered him in all that he was doing when he was working for Potiphar, even before he was sold by his brothers. God's blessings was upon him. And when he got to prison, he had duties there, and we covered that. And part of the duties that he had was taking care of the prison itself, because the warden just turned everything over to him. And when the cupbearer and the baker of Pharaoh came to prison, then Joseph was assigned to take care of them. And he approached them one day when they were very sad and began a conversation with them, found out that they had dreamed dreams. He had dreamed dreams before, so he understood. And he went to check on the two men to see how they were doing, to touch base with them. And they began to explain their dreams. They didn't know what it meant. They didn't know what to do with that. So Joseph said, I know a God that can interpret dreams. Tell me your dreams. And they began to tell him the dreams that they had had. And he told them what it meant. He could have flowered it up, but he told them the truth, which is always best. So that brings us to where we left off last week. There is a behavior or a demeanor about Joseph And it was just as true in prison as it was in his father's house or any other place. And it says in verse 6 and 7 of Genesis 40, when Joseph saw them the next morning, he noticed that they both looked upset. And he says, why do you look so worried? As Joseph was going about his duties, he saw that the two fellows were very sad. And they had dreamed the dreams, and he encouraged them, tell me those dreams, and I'll tell you what they mean. You see, Joseph, he could have ignored all of that because he knew that they were going to probably be getting out pretty soon. But he was there to stay, as far as he knows. But yet he was concerned in their attitude, in their feelings. And he wanted to help them. He was a true servant. What a great lesson for us. It's true that most of us can see no further than our own needs. And we get so wrapped up in what we need and how we feel and what's going on in our lives that sometimes we really don't have time or don't take the time to be worried about other people's needs or even be concerned about their feelings because all we can think of is our hurt, our need. When that really takes place, then we become a little self-centered, and we start dealing in our own problems and our own burdens. That's an attitude that the Lord really doesn't like. He doesn't want us wrapped inside of ourselves. He wants us ministering to others and reaching out to others. He's wanting us to be able to see other people's needs. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 4, it says, let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. He wants us to look around for somebody to help. What a great opportunity we have right now. You have neighbors that need help. You have neighbors that might need just a prayer. What an awesome opportunity God has placed us in. Not a pleasant one, but it's still an opportunity for us to be a blessing and to minister to others. It's not easy, but it's biblical. Jesus said, no greater love has any man than this, than he lays down his life for his brother. And he was willing to lay down his life for us. Can we not let other people be a part of our lives in the same way that we can be concerned about them and minister to them? The fact is, when you and I get our eyes off our own self or our own pain or our own burdens and needs and problems, and we set about doing good with other people, we start touching someone else by prayer or with love, then our own load gets lighter and easier to bear. And sometimes when we find out what's going on in somebody else's life, we're not so bad off. And we go away saying, man, I'm glad I don't have their problems. But they need help in carrying their problems. Jesus wants us to be a blessing, even when we're in a prison situation. There's another lesson here that we don't want to miss in how Joseph acted toward the baker and the butler. Joseph was in prison. His dreams were shattered. They seemed to have passed. And he probably had little hope of ever seeing his dreams come true. And it may be that he's in that prison to stay and that he'll never get out. But Joseph still had joy. That's an amazing example for us. In all things, we are to have joy and peace. Because it's not the things that's going to give us joy or peace. It's our Lord. And as long as we're serving Him, no matter what our circumstances may be, we can still have the joy of the Lord because that'll give us strength. Joseph had discovered that. Joseph was in that prison, but he's happy. Most people have a problem being joyous when they have no burden. They don't know how to act sometimes, and they get concerned. Most people can praise the Lord, laugh and smile when everything is going smooth and all their needs are being met and the food, the refrigerator is full of food. Then we get worried. Something's going to happen. Things are going too good. Listen, I learned the truth. It really takes somebody that's filled with genuine faith to praise the Lord when the bottom is falling out. Even if something bad does come your way, you can still praise the Lord. Because He said, I won't leave you. I will not forsake you. I will not abandon you. And that's what He had told Joseph. He said, it doesn't matter how bad it gets in here, I'm with you. I'll walk with you. So Joseph is in that prison, but he is happy. Not because he's in, but he's happy in God, in the Lord. He's serving a Lord, and the Lord is blessing him, and he's got favor even in the prison. Anybody can praise the Lord when everything is going their way. The bills are paid. Everyone's healthy. There's no problems whatsoever. It's easy to say, hallelujah, glory to God. But when you have to shout on credit, the good hadn't happened yet. You in the middle of the bad, but you know that God's still in charge. And you shout on credit, that's when you know you're really getting somewhere. When things aren't going good and you can still smile and you can still sleep and you can still have peace. When you can praise the Lord and testify to His grace and His goodness, even when your heart is broken and tears are streaming down your face, you're going somewhere in faith. You're getting there. You're being pleasing to the Lord. When you can shout and bless His name in spite of or in the midst of your pain and heartache, that brings Him glory and honor and praise. What I find, though, is that most Christians aren't good for a holy grunt during that time. If it's not going good, they ain't satisfied. They're mad. And they're hurt. Most of us are like the butler and the baker. We go around with a sad face, gloomy countenance. What a poor advertisement for our living Lord. You say you're happy in Jesus and you have joy in your heart. Sometimes you have to let your face know that because it didn't get the memo. And you need to put a smile on your face. even when you're hurting. Give us more people like Job, who could praise the Lord even in the midst of extreme hardship. Give us more people like Abraham, that his faith was strong and he has confidence in God, even when he's walking up the hill to sacrifice his son. Give us more people who know that God is still God, even in the midst of the storm, as he is on a sunny day. So it can be raining and thundering and lightning and carrying on, but God's still in charge. He's still God. And when the sun comes out and it's easy for us to smile, God is no stronger than he was when it was storming. I ran across a very interesting little story that Charles Edison wrote of Thomas. He was the son of Thomas Edison, and he wrote this about his dad. And it gives us a glimpse into Thomas Edison's faith and what he thought about God. It's in his book entitled The Electric Thomas Edison. It says, one December evening, the cry of fire, fire, fire echoed through the plant. Spontaneous combustion had broken out in the film room. Within moments, all the packing compounds, the celluloid of records and film and other flammable goods went up in a whoosh. When I couldn't find Father, I became concerned. Was he safe? Was he hurt? With all of his assets going up in smoke, would his spirit be broken? He was 67 years old. That's no age to begin anew. Then I saw him out in the plant yard, and he was running toward me. He was hollering, "Where's Mom? Where's Mom?" And I said, "I didn't know." And he said, "Go get her. Go get Mom. Tell her to get all of her friends. They'll never see a fire like this again. This is one for the record books." At 5:30 the next morning, when the fire was barely under control, he called all of his employees together and he announced, "We're rebuilding." One man was told to lease all the machine shops in the area. Another was told to obtain a wrecking crane from the Erie Railroad Company. Then, almost as an afterthought, he added, "Oh, by the way, anybody know where we can get any money?" Later on, he explains, "You can always make a capital out of disaster. We've just cleared out a bunch of old rubbish. That fire did nothing but take the old garbage out of our way. We'll build bigger and we'll build better on the ruins of the old." With that, he rolled up his coat for a pillow, curled up on a table, and immediately fell asleep. What awesome fate. That's the kind of faith that we need to have, because our God is that strong and that able. It's the kind of prison demeanor that we need to display when we walk through our difficult hours. May God help us to learn that he is always God and he's always good, regardless of how life is treating us. So that brings us to prison disappointments, and that's our fourth section. In Genesis 40, 21 through 41, and I'm not going to read all those. I'm reading 21, 22, 23. He restored, talking about Pharaoh, the chief cupbearer to his position, so that he once again put the cup in Pharaoh's hand. But he impaled the chief baker, just as Joseph had said to them in his interpretation. The chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. And then in verse 1 of chapter 41, it says, 2 full years passed, and Pharaoh had a dream. The dreams of the butler and the baker were fulfilled, just as Joseph said. The butler was restored to his office. The baker was executed by Pharaoh. Now, Joseph had asked that butler, please remember me when you're restored to your office. He told him that way before Pharaoh ever reinstated him. But we're told that the man forgot. Surely, Joseph's heart was broken. I can imagine him heading for his cell when the butler was released and Pharaoh had sent the guards to fetch him and bring him back to the palace. I'm sure that Joseph was thinking, you know, I had better pack. That man's going to tell Pharaoh all about me and about this miscarriage of justice, and I'm going to be set free. I'm sure that every time the prison doors opened, Joseph thought it was somebody coming to set him free. But the butler forgot him. Days turned into weeks, and weeks turned into months, and months turned into 2 long years. All the while, Joseph is still locked in prison, disappointed, yes, but waiting on God to move in his time, having a confidence in God. You see, there's disappointments in prison. When you and I are in our locked-in place, circumstances have us locked in and locked down, and we feel like we're in prison. Those disappointments can serve to teach us lessons, valuable lessons. Joseph's did. And there's 2 very valuable lessons that Joseph learned in that. We all need to pay attention. Number 1 was Joseph learned that he should never put his confidence in man. Men will let you down. He tried to get help from human resources. Don't let that be your place of dependence. Because as with Joseph, it will fail. The fact is that there's no real help in man. Our only help comes from the Lord. David said, I'll look to the hills from whence comes my help. God may use humans as his instruments, but behind that provision is the almighty hand of God moving things into place by his providence. The second thing that Joseph learned, that God's unseen hand moves along a hidden pathway. We don't always see that hand moving. We don't always know that God is working on our behalf. I'm sure that Joseph would have liked to have been freed long before he was. But it wasn't God's time. When the time came, Joseph was released, not 1 minute before, but not 1 minute after, when the right time came. You and I need to learn the truth that God is seldom early, but he's never late. He's always right on time. There will be some disappointments in our prison, I'm sure. Those things that we experience, they'll disappoint. The Lord's not going to move right when we think he should. And we'll get discouraged. He won't do it in the way that we really want him to do something. And sometimes we'll reach past the hand of God and we'll reach out for human help. But we'll find that it always comes a little short. And that will disappoint you also. When those times come, we can either get discouraged, we can look for a place to quit, we can walk out on God, we can throw up our hands and say, this is useless. Or we can do like Joseph did. We can reinstate our servanthood to God and say, God, I'll serve you all the days of my life. We should stay the course for God's glory, and we need to serve him. We need to remember that even though we may feel forgotten, and there sometimes we will, we'll never be forsaken by the Lord. In his time, he will visit our prison and he will set us free. Only his hand can. I know this is a bad place to leave Joseph. It's a bad place to leave our hero. He's done the right thing every chance he had, and he still suffers for righteousness' sake. He stands before us, falsely accused, wrongly imprisoned, and now he's forgotten by somebody he trusted and he helped. Maybe you, and for sure Joseph, he cannot see it now, but the wheels of God's providence are slowly advancing. That date of his release is coming ever closer. God is slowly but surely lining up everything in Joseph's life just the way it needs to be. And soon, very soon, the plans and the purposes of God will become crystal clear. And Joseph will understand, and you and I will understand. Because the same is true in our lives, it's true in Joseph's life. There's some that are listening right now, some that are here among me. You're looking at disappointments and distress, discouragement. You're not sure how to handle it, or even why they're there. What have I done to deserve all of this? What did Joseph ever do except love God and do the best he could to serve him? In moments when we're questioning and the moments when we're hurting, the best thing that we can do is bring all of that hurt, all of those questions, bring them to Jesus. He has all the answers. He has all the help. Bring them to the Lord and learn to leave them in his hands. He'll take care of it. He's got this. COVID-19 virus did not take God by surprise. He wasn't sitting on the throne saying, oh, what's happening? No, he knew all about that. And trust me, he's got this. He's drawing America to himself. He's drawing church after church to himself. He's drawing individuals. Maybe you. I know me. He's drawing us to himself. Let's ask him for the mercy, the grace, and the help that we need to thrive in our prison life. Those times when we're shut up, we're locked down, we can still thrive like Joseph did. Why? There's help in the Lord. You might feel forgotten today, but I hope you know you'll never be forsaken. Jesus said, I'll never leave you, nor will I forsake you. Bow with me, would you please? Father, there's some that are hurting this morning. There might be some that are extremely sick. There may be others that are seeing their finances run very low. Others, Lord, they're wondering where their next meal or their next need is going to be met. Will I even have a job when all of this is over? The questions abound. The hurt is palpable. But God, I know that one moment in your presence is better than a thousand elsewhere. There's no other place for us to turn. So we turn to you, because you're the God that can interpret all of this and explain all of this and help us, draw us close to you, because you've got all of it in control. And God, there may be somebody that's listening to me right now that don't know you, or they served you years ago or when they were young and they've wandered away. Friend, if that's you, would you just say, Jesus, show yourself to me. Talk to me. I want to walk with you. Will you take this opportunity right now to reach out and touch his garment and feel that healing virtue flow? What you need is in Jesus. Today's your day. You may have been forgotten, but you're not forsaken. He's a very present help in time of trouble. And some of us need him desperately right now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Would you write me and let me know? I want to pray for you more than just here. You can go on our website and get the address of our church. Drop me a line and let me know, because I know that God has touched some people today. I look for your note. Thank you. for being here with us today. See you later, next week. Amen.